with his remaining 11 disciples. They're in the upper room and they're celebrating the Passover together. Jesus' 12th disciple, Judas Iscariot, he's already slunk off to complete his betrayal of Jesus, which will ultimately lead to Jesus' arrest and his death. This should be a happy occasion, but there is stress, and the disciples are anxious. Jesus has told Peter that he's going to deny him. Thomas is arguing with Jesus. We don't know where you're going, Lord. How on earth can we know the way? And Philip's saying to the Lord, just show us the Father. That will be enough. We know that Jesus wanted to comfort his disciples. He had told them he was going away and they couldn't go with him. He loved these guys. I love the verse in Luke where it says, he loved them to the end. He knew that the disciples would be bereft and grieving and frightened in the days to come. He gave them words of encouragement, talking about his Father's house, saying that each of them would have a place there, and he would come back and take them there to be with him. Then he makes another of his I am statements. This time he tells the disciples, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When I was preparing for this evening, I read in several different places how the whole Bible is God's plan for redeeming his people who had been separated from him by sin, and that Jesus was going to be the way that that plan was carried out. And that is exactly what happened. Jesus came down from heaven. He lived amongst us on earth. Then he, sinless as he was, he went and died on the cross. But at that moment of his death, he shattered the barrier that had existed between God and sinful man. When Jesus went to the cross, he took upon himself all the sins of mankind. And by doing that, he, Jesus, made a way. He made the way where we could come into the presence of our Father through Jesus. We were justified. God could look on us because Jesus had paid the penalty for sin. So when Jesus tells the disciples, you know where I'm going and you know the way, those words are as true for us as they were for the disciples. If we have a relationship with God and with Jesus, then we know where he is and we know the way. The way is Jesus. We just need to trust in Jesus. And we need to follow him. Follow him in our daily lives and follow him on our journey to eternal life with him in heaven. Many years ago, I did the scariest walk of my life up in the Lake District. Uphill Vellon and Overstriding Edge. And my memory of trying to get over Striding Edge was huge blocks of stone, really, really narrow on the top, and I was supposed to clamber my way over them. I had frozen. I was terrified when I wasn't going anywhere. And a chap came alongside me. He said, "Let me help you. Let me walk with you to the other side." That is how I picture Jesus as the way, holding out his hand and walking with us as we journey to our Father in heaven. Who do you call on when you hit those rocky, scary times in your lives? Jesus is there. And he just wants us to call out to him because he is the way. Go a quick drink. Let's have a quick look. We'll look briefly now at the second part where it says Jesus is the truth. How can anybody make that statement? He doesn't say, "I am truthful." He says, "I am the truth." Truth is vital. Politicians seem to face constant challenges about whether they are being truthful to the people in the nation. And how often do we hear people say that they don't believe they can trust the nation's leaders? And there have been some pretty spectacular falls from grace where people have been found to be untruthful. How can somebody discern the truth how can somebody discern if something is truthful without knowing, so they know whether it is accurate or a lie? Some people thought that Jesus was just simply a good man. He did good deeds. He taught people. He fed people. He even healed people. But now, not the Son of God. But Jesus spoke far more about who he was as the Son of God and of God his Father. So he was either mad or bad, or who he said he was. Question. We all believe that the word of God is true. Amen? Good job. So, that word of God, that almighty word that said things like, "Let there be light," and "there was light," that word that took on flesh in the form of Jesus, came and lived amongst us, and then died on the cross. But just at that moment of his death, he shattered the barrier that had divided us from God. Sorry, I have lost my place. I'm very sorry.
The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us.
Thank you. The word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. Remember how Jesus told Philip, "I am in my Father, and my Father is in me." That's so important to remember. So when Jesus says he is the truth, he is telling us that he is God's truth. When he shares love, he is sharing God's love. And when he shows compassion, he is showing God's compassion. And when he speaks words of forgiveness, he is showing and speaking God's words of forgiveness. We can stand firm in faith that Jesus is the truth, because he is God's truth. And we can build our lives upon his words. Next, we're just going to look at the last piece, which is that Jesus is the life. What's the point of life? Why am I here? What's the point of my life? These are all big questions, big serious questions. And they are questions that I can remember angsting over before I asked Jesus to be my Saviour and my Lord. I was a very angry, unhappy non-believer, with a real downer on Christians as well. You should ask my sister about that one day. And this probably is a pretty good image of what I was like before I came to know Jesus, believe me. So I was in my early 30s, and I asked a really good friend, I was staying with her, and I said, "You've changed." And she said, "I've become a Christian." She shone. And I realized that whatever it was that she had found, I needed it in my life. So she slipped me the sinner's prayer as I went to bed one night. And I prayed the prayer, crying out to a God that I didn't believe in, "Please be real." Jesus didn't just transform me. He gave me new life. He made me a new creation. There is no comparison between my old life and my new life. Nobody ever said I was kind or caring or enthusiastic or anything previously. And the love I have for the Lord and the love that I have that I want to share is so strong and so powerful that at times I feel like a bottle of bubbly that's been shaken and I'm going to explode at any minute. It is amazing. But more seriously, it's not a bubble bath of nice feelings until I get to glory. All the standard life stuff continued. Some of it good, some of it absolutely great, and some of it rubbish and really, really tough. But the difference was I had Jesus. He was there with me always. In my spiritual core, I know Jesus is the life. I've given you this very brief summary of my salvation tonight because I wanted to try and paint a picture for you that showed you Jesus being life and what that life can look like, a new life. We are so fortunate because we have a God who is a God of living and you know, the God of life and a living God. Death does not have any say for us. As believers, we know that Jesus has defeated death. I have a deep and an amazing joy and peace and you know, just wonderment inside of me. I also have a deep peace about where I'm going to go when I die. I'm going to go to be with Jesus. Yeah. So this might not be so easy for people who haven't had that life-changing experience. But there is scripture. Alan, would you read that 2 Corinthians verse for me?
2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun.
Thank you. I mean, Jesus, who is the truth, who is incapable of deceit, he has told us that he is the life. And there is a great verse in Mark where it says, our God is God of the living, not of the dead. Heaven is not a morgue. Heaven is a place where there is eternal, everlasting singing and joy and praise. Dead people who are dead to Jesus, they don't get to do that sort of thing, and that is so sad. If we want to be with our Father in heaven, part of that party that is never ending, then we need the life that is through Jesus. After the bit about Jesus is the truth, I wanted to ask two questions, so I'll ask them now. Because we were talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit and things, I wanted to ask if there's anybody here who has never asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then why don't you just do it now? Hold out your hands and just ask for the Holy Spirit to come and to fill you. Come, Holy Spirit. Or if you have an issue in your life that you are struggling with, then just hold out your hands and call on the Holy Spirit and just ask him to help you with this issue. I mentioned that I prayed the sinner's prayer. I'd like to pray that prayer now, and if anybody has never prayed it, then please pray it in your hearts and come and talk to me afterwards, because I would really love to, you know, to talk to you. Alan, could you read that sinner's prayer for me?
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Please forgive me. Come into my life. I receive you as my Lord and Saviour. Now help me to live for you the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. And can I just ask one more question? To ask you to just take a moment. Don't overthink this, but just think of somebody who is on your heart and who you long to come to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and to see them come to salvation. So let's just take a moment and think about those people and lift them up to the Lord. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to look at your words of you are the way and the truth and the life. And over these coming days, Lord, as we perhaps wrestle with things that are unfathomable to us, like you and God, you are in your Father is in you are in God, God is in you from before time was created. As we wrestle with those things, may we be open to you, Lord, and to how you want to work in each of our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.